right, 90 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're crossing over to Dr. Habira Samira Nanabai. She's the author of the new book. It's called Living with Intent. And we're going to be talking about this book as well. Dr. Habira Samira, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Habiba Samira, jazakallah for your time and mashallah, congratulations on this new book, sister. May Allah accept it.
Ameen. Jazakallah so much for the opportunity.
Ameen. Dr. Habiba, with regards to this book called The New, or rather Living with Intent, what was the motivation for putting this book together?
So initially I noticed that mental health conditions are largely unrecognized in our communities, I think because of a lack of access to information regarding them, and this results in people labeling them as something else, for example, like lack of piety or jadu, and sometimes the efforts to manage these symptoms are misdirected and the problem only gets worse. So I wanted to do workshops at schools to shed some light on this, but because it was the pandemic and obviously I'm at work when children are at school, I decided to keep it in a writing format. And I also noticed that apart from like formal mental health diagnoses, there's also the general emotional well-being of those around us. And we can really better it by simple phrases that we can start saying or stop saying as per the wealth of advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I noted down all these reminders to myself and others, and then once I had reached about 50 pages in written idea form, I decided to just keep it in writing, format it as a book, and get to it and publish it into what it is today.
MashaAllah. You know, Dr. Habiba, in Islam, mental health, similar to physical health, is a very important aspect in a person's well-being. As like you say, it is integral to living a healthy and balanced life. The other question I wanted to ask you is, do we live without setting intentions correctly? Is that why we are less fulfilled in our lives?
I think we often do what we've seen being done, and we often say what we've heard being said. And we don't always think about the level of benefit of the actions and words that we've become so used to. And even worse than this is when we don't think of the harms of the phrases that we use that have become so ubiquitous in society. So I thought that myself firstly, obviously, and then others could deal with the reminder to think before we speak and to act in a more intentional manner just so that we can live in a more fulfilled way.
Okay. What are some tips for aspiring writers?
Unfortunately, I'm also really new at this, so I feel that I'm not really in the position to be giving advice. But what I can say is that if you're thinking of writing or publishing, just take the leap and go for it. Because I've gotten such a good response. It's much better than I could have imagined. So I'm sure everyone else will too. So just go for it if you're thinking about it.
Okay. Dr. Abisa, with regards to negative nicknames, rather, before we come to that, you know, in your book, you focus on the education and roles in society a lot. Why was this something you felt so important to address?
This is something that I'm really passionate about, and I was also further inspired by the documentary that's Ramadan on Radio Islam, the one that was called The Awakening. And in there it was mentioned that one of the factors leading to the downfall of the Muslim Khilafah was when colonizers succeeded to infiltrate this idea into Muslims that there's a binary. So there's a religious education, there's secular education, there's religious leadership, there's political leadership. And the only way we can rise again is to break this binary that we've been infiltrated with. So I hope to inspire myself and others to become people with minds that can integrate Islam into the world around us. And I wanted to raise the future generations without this limiting notion that either you choose tertiary education or you choose dini education. I want us to see all knowledge in an Islamic light and diversify your skill set as Muslims so that we can never face the circumstance where we can't even boycott people who oppress Muslims because we don't have enough skill to be self-sufficient as an ummah. So I just hope to inspire myself and others really to diversify our skills and to become self-sufficient.
I mean, also, Dr. Habisa, with regards to negative nicknames, why do you talk on this in your book?
So in general, the classic idea of negative nicknames is that we call people by names that they don't like. But what I also wanted to draw on is what I heard in a talk by Umar Suleiman, and he mentioned that sometimes we use the good qualities of people with a negative connotation just to soothe our own conscience. So we use a person's good deeds to mock them, like we claim that they are too excessive in their charity or in their dawah or whatever it is, and we really need to stop mocking the good that people do to soothe our own consciences.
Yeah. Dr. Visa, you know, another interesting topic is fake humility. Do people actually indulge in this and don't even realize this? Can you talk us through this?
So the opposite of humility is pride. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba not to have pride. So they inquired, like, does this relate to the clothes that a person chooses or their presentation?
Yeah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and clarified that pride is rejecting the truth and looking down on people. So humility is not what we sometimes attempt to portray when we talk negatively about ourselves, or if somebody compliments us, we say, oh, but these clothes are so old. But rather, humility is being open to being corrected. And humility is not holding on ourselves on a pedestal and feeling too good to be advised. So I think it's important for us to realize what is pride and what is humility so that we can embody true humility rather than only speaking lowly of ourselves and being of detriment to our own self-confidence, which is not in keeping with true humility.
Yeah. And also, you know, interesting you talk about and you write about treating people like bucket lists. Can you explain this concept to us?
What I was referring to by this is having a preconceived notion of the people we think are good enough to surround us. So this could be by way of education or appearance or wealth or social standing. And we may use these criteria to choose our friends, our spouse, or our working colleagues. And what we need to realize is that a checklist that eliminates people based on our preconceived ideas of what we think we need is going to deprive us of the ability to learn from different people. And this will take away from us the lessons we can learn by understanding that every single person has something to teach us if only we are willing to learn from everyone.
Okay. Final question with regards to your book, Living with Intent. Umi Omar, where is it available?
So if anyone would like to order it directly from me, they can place their order via email. And the email address is umumarbooks@gmail.com, umumarbooks@gmail.com. Alternatively, they can get it at Madrasa Siddiqa in extension 11B in Lanesha, or at Darun Nashar, also in Lanesha. And for those who will find it more convenient in Johannesburg, it's also available at Jamiatul Ulama Johannesburg.
JazakAllah. MashaAllah, congratulations on your book. And also regarding this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, accept that is most important. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant you all the best in your future endeavor, sister.
Ameen. JazakAllah so much, Mulana.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.